Happy Independence Day. It's the news, according to me. Hey, everybody. Good morning. It is Friday. Happy Independence Day. It is Friday, July 4th. May the 4th be with you. And it is 10:20 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am in Jacksonville, Florida. I have been out on a trek to get some breakfast. I actually have been out on a, I walked about 6 miles, let's just put it that way. A little six-mile walk to get some breakfast. 6 miles, that's total, three miles there and 3 miles back. The hotel here has a breakfast, but I just don't, I don't care for overpriced hotel breakfast. When I can get, most places give you breakfast for free. This place, well, they give me a 20% discount for being a rewards member. But I'm going to walk 3 miles, go to a Cracker Barrel. I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to get a real breakfast with sweet tea. And of course, I didn't bring any sweet tea with me. I didn't want to have to carry it 3 miles to get it back here. So I do have sweet tea, but it's this pure leaf bottled stuff. I don't know. It's not that good. I went to Five Guys yesterday to pick up. I was unfortunately, I have some sad news, by the way, on this 4th of July to share with you, even though we're celebrating, you know, a lot of things today. I have some sad news. It was going through Washington, D.C. yesterday, Reagan National, and I was saddened to hear. I was with my crew, you know, with my group, and we were walking through the terminal. We were kind of behind, so we were trying to catch the next flight and to get here to Jacksonville. And I told everybody I would ask if anybody wanted anything from Chick-fil-A, because there's a Chick-fil-A there, and it's not Sunday, so I thought, this is great. I can run down there, get stuff for everybody. We'll get back on the plane, get some food, and be on our way. And I get down there, only to find out that the Chick-fil-A in D.C., in Reagan National, is temporarily closed for remodeling. Now, needless to say, I got no satisfaction. I ended up with no, all the way on my rest of my trip there. I was sad. My thoughts kept going back to the fact that I had no sweet tea from Chick-fil-A to sip on while I was flying along. It was a very sad, melancholy moment. That realization just kept sinking in throughout the entire flight. So, needless to say, got up this morning and I was determined to get to myself. And it's, you know, you're in Jacksonville, Florida. This is an area where this is almost deep south kind of thing. I have sweet tea everywhere here. So I ended up going to Cracker Barrel. Now, if I had known that there is a Longhorn Steakhouse also along the way, I probably would have just waited until and walked there for lunch. It was actually closer, about half the distance, about a mile away. Probably should have just had a light, you know, I've got an apple and some stuff here I could have eaten for my breakfast this morning and then gone there for a major lunch. Still made it back in time. We got a flight out tonight. Get out of here and I got to go through Miami now and go to, I'm going to end up in Greenville, South Carolina, Greenville, Spartanburg. But, needless to say, I have in the last of my chai that I have with me, it's kind of a week underfunded. It's a little bit watered down. It's got plenty of creamer in there, which helps a little bit. So it's a very creamy cup of chai this morning. It's not quite. It's just not quite as strong as it normally is. It's almost as strong, but not quite. I've also got this pure leaf bottle of tea. I ended up going to get a burger at this burger place, and on the way through D.C. So I ended up at this place called Elevation Burger. I don't know if it's a chain. I assume it's a chain of some kind, but the prices are extremely high. It's a $16. The Elevation Burger itself is like $16 now, you know, plus tax and fees and everything else. It does come with fries. However, it doesn't come with a drink. And sadly, of course, I don't really care for all the stuff. What they put on these things are mushrooms and onions, and the toppings are unbelievably messy, in my opinion. That might be good, but it's very messy. I don't like messy sandwiches. I just don't like them. I don't like stuff when I bite into it, this stuff goes everywhere. I don't like that. Some people really like that. I don't know what the deal is with that. In fact, Rally's Burger Place, the Rally's drive-in restaurant, made a deal out of that. That was a big deal with them. They showed a pair of white shoes, and somebody has a Rally's. It's like they're obviously at a Rally's sandwich place. The Rally, you know, they have Rally's stuff all over the place. And they show this guy's white shoes, gets his sandwich and bites into it, and all you see on his white shoe is this big splotch of red juicy stuff, like tomato, ketchup type stuff. And I didn't go to Rally's for a long time because of that. I never went to a Rally's. I just assumed that all their sandwiches were messy and I didn't want to go there. I ended up breaking down and going to one time because there was nothing else open at one point. So I ended up I didn't want to get out of my car and I didn't want to, you know, just had time to kill. I'm going to try a Rally's burger. It's right here. I'll just try one. Ordered one without all the stuff on it. I got to say, the burger itself was actually very good. I was actually very impressed with it, and I would go back. I still have that. I don't think I have though. I maybe have gone to a Rally's twice in my life. Now they're not all over the, you know, it's hard to find them. They're not everywhere, but there are some in my general vicinity where I do my stomping grounds, and I just don't go there. And I probably should. I don't eat as many burgers as I used to. I eat a lot of fish sandwiches. I eat a lot of salmon. I eat a lot of cod. So I do tend to eat a little bit less red meat, I guess. Not that I'm, you know, nothing wrong with it. I had a burger, this big double burger that I ordered it plain with cheddar. It turned out to be a pretty good burger, but it was not worth, you know, the $16 price. I think with taxes and everything, it ended up being almost $20 for an airport fast food burger, basically. They're trying to be a fast food gourmet burger is what they're trying to be, but they're close to that, but it's not worth 16. It's not $20. No, come on. Of course, now if you start to get out California where they're about to make the minimum wage $30 an hour, $30 an hour for minimum wage. Think about that. Think about how ridiculous, that's like $60,000 a year. $60,000 a year for minimum wage. Well, it's a livable wage because the prices are so high. Well, the prices are so high because of the way their state is run. That's just they're out of control. I would call it a death spiral at this point. They're in a very bad situation out there because now they're raising the price of minimum wage. So everything, the price of everything has to go up. Of course, this whole thing, tips on taxes and all that stuff, or taxes on tip, I'm sorry, no tax on tips. That whole process is not going to help Californians out at all, by the way. Ironically, they're not going to be helped out by that because of the way that California does their tax system. There will be very little benefit to Californians, unfortunately, for all my friends out there in California. You just won't see the benefits that most of the country will because of the way they run their tax system, the way their state taxes are set up. I'm not going to get into that because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an accountant, I'm not a financial counselor, I'll leave it at that. But you work that out with your financial people. So I ended up getting this burger, and it was okay. It was good, but for the money I paid, I don't know if it was worth that much. Regardless, okay, we have a few things to talk about. One, the big beautiful bill has now passed, and people are upset, people are happy, people are don't care, whatever it is. This is one of those deals where there's a whole lot of things for everybody to like in it. There's a whole lot of things for everybody to hate in it. But the left, their heads, of course, have gone completely off the rails. They're completely out of their minds. They're acting like this is the end of the world. Everything, every week, the GOP, anything that they do, the world is going to end, and everything. It's the worst thing. AOC has come out and said this is the worst thing that's happened in the nation's history. That's how tragic it is. Where's the worst thing? And, 9/11 wasn't the worst thing. just on and on and on. This is just ridiculous. I just heard somebody the other day say something about, well, this big, beautiful bill, yeah, they're talking about this. Is this going to be the same thing as, you know, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your insurance, keep your doctor, keep your whatever. This was coming from a Democrat asking this question. And I was like, do you remember who it was that passed that? Who it was that said that? It was Obama that said that. Obama's the one that said, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan. That's what he said. And yet they make it sound like, the way she was talking, it sounded like, well, this is just that the Republicans are telling us this again. Kind of the Republicans are lying to us. It just amazes me how quickly people forget these things and how, you know, who they blame things on just because the current administration is in there and they were told something back when someone else was in. The memory of people is worse than a goldfish. I have... So the big beautiful bill has passed, and I think that, you know, Trump was really pushing for it to get done before July 4th, and now we find out the reason. He had a big plan. He wants to sign it on the 4th. He's gonna sign it today, and while he signs it, he's got this big plan. He's gonna have all these bombers flying over. He's gonna be doing this whole July 4th Independence Day celebration. And while they're doing all that, he's going to be signing the bill. Now, the truth here is somewhere in the middle of all this in terms of, you know, is it a good bill, is it a bad bill? We'll figure that all out at some point. But at the I think there's some good things in the bill. There's some things that I don't really care for. There's some spending I don't like. But I think it is a step in the right direction. We'll see how that. This is a much better bill than what Trump signed the very first part of his, when he was in office initially. He learned his lesson, I think, on that one, I think. And that's why he just put this bill out there kind of in the Democrats' face, knowing that it had some stretches, knowing that he had to get it through. Not a single Democrat voted for this, by the way. Some Republicans did vote against it. He finally got those people on his side and finally got it through. There was one congresswoman lady, I think from somewhere out west, and she said, she did a TikTok thing and she was so upset. She almost lost her voice because she's so tired. She finally made it home for the 4th and then she had to come back. She was forced to come back to vote for this bill, vote against this bill. She was forced to do it. She didn't have a choice. She had to do it. She was forced to do it. What is the one thing we elect them to do? We don't elect them to go up to Capitol Hill and parade themselves around and have all these investigations that go nowhere, that spend more money to figure out what our rights are. We don't elect them to do that. We elect them to vote on our behalf. That's their only job. That's really their only job. At the end of the day, that's 95% of your job. The other 5% is to read the bill you're voting on. But your most important thing is to vote on the bill. Vote on bills, propose them, read them, and then vote on them. That's what we hire you for. That's what we vote for you for. We vote for you, so to vote for us. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. Not to raise money, not to raise funds, not to educate, not to bully pulpit. All that stuff is there. It's all, you know, you can do all that stuff. That's fine, all well and good. You can be on committees, do whatever you want to do. At the end of the day, what we elected you for is to vote. So don't pretend like, oh, I was forced to come back and vote, of all things, a vote. I couldn't just go to the gym and work out and get my free health care. You suck it up, lady. Just grow up, okay? Just do your job. Six figures to vote. It takes a whole lot of effort to do that. Push a button. Unfortunately, you're just about two steps ahead of minimum wage doing that job now, because it forces everything up. It's ridiculous to think that somebody with a job that is that just because you have a job, it should be a livable wage job. Well, unfortunately, it's not going to be a livable wage job for very long, because all other pay scales will have to go up. This is why there's shortages in certain professions. And there, you know, there's a pilot shortage, there's a nursing shortage, there's, you know, health worker shortage, there's labor skilled labor shortages. Because people don't go to those jobs if they feel like they can make it on, you know, why bother learning a trade? Why bother going to school? Why bother spending money on anything else? Why bother trying to, you know, challenge yourself, to discipline yourself, to learn anything else? Just so that you can, what, make the same amount of money as somebody that sits behind a cash register? And I'm not demeaning anybody who sits behind a cash register. I'm just saying it's a low-skill job. That when I hand my stuff to somebody so that they can scan it for me, or whether I scan it myself, that's how easy the job is. When the customer can do it themselves, it's really a low-skill job. When you're just basically taking the place of them doing it themselves. I could literally stand there. They could just stand there and watch me, and I could literally scan it in front of them, and they could just stand there and watch me. All they do is push the button on the register and take my money. That's it. And the machine can do that. So what am I paying for here? Why am I not getting paid to do their job? It supposedly cuts costs, but unfortunately it cuts their costs. Now, I don't see why that person. So they're going to eliminate people. They're going to start putting more and more kiosks in. It's just the way it's going to work. That's the economics of it. Now, of course, the mom and pop stores can't afford to do that. So it drives them out, drives people to big business, larger business, which gives them more leverage, which gives also, it's just this death spiral of escalating costs, escalating the price of anything that you do. So now these same people who are making $60,000, and this is all about burger economics. I've talked about this before. It's been a while since I've said anything about it, but burger economics is a real thing. Or cheeseburger economics, if you want to call it that. And what I'm talking about when I say that is, if a person at a fast food restaurant is making $5 an hour, and a value meal costs $5, they can work for an hour and make enough to buy a value meal. Well, the reason value meals are going up is because minimum wages are going up. Restaurants are primarily, they sell food, but they're really selling service. The one of their biggest expenses in a food business, one of the biggest expenses is labor, because food has to be prepared, has to be done, you know, all this stuff has to be done. Clientele, you know, we have to deal with clients, cleaning, all this stuff that you have to do. It is, you know, you go into any fast food restaurant that's decent anyway, a decent fast food restaurant, they're going to probably have almost as many people working behind the counter as they have in the restaurant at any given time. And, you know, on the average throughout the day, when you look at the, like, not necessarily at lunchtime, but or supper time, but all throughout the day, if you count the number, you know, every hour, if you count how many people are in the building, and you're probably going to see more workers or as many workers in the building throughout the day on average as you will see clients. This is just the economics of it. You can't, you know, robots aren't cleaning the tables, or they're not doing that yet, that kind of thing yet, cleaning the floors, cleaning the tables. It just doesn't happen. Now, the cooking the food, not yet. Robots can do that stuff, but it's not doing it yet. The attempt here is to pay these people a living wage. And so when you start paying them $30 an hour, well, guess how much a value meal is going to cost? It's going to cost $30. Because everything that goes into that sandwich meal, that little value meal, whether it's the farmer who has to pay his help now more money because, you know, they make minimum wage, the people who deliver the food products, the people who do all, whatever it is, all across the board, those people have to make $30 an hour. It's going to raise the price of that food to $30. It may take a little while to get there, but it will be there. So now that person still has to work an hour to buy a value meal, along with everything else in their, it'll feel great initially for the first 6 months to a year. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, they're not making enough money again. They're going to be poor again. Every time that there's a minimum wage raise, everybody feels okay about it. And the next thing you know, they're not making enough anymore. Well, that's because of inflation. Prices go up. Well, that's why we have inflation. One of the reasons we have inflation is because of government spending, one, and two, the way the banks work their money system. It's inflation is a tax on our wealth. If you take $100,000, put it under your bed. Just let me know when you're not home and what doors are unlocked. When you take $100,000, put it under your bed, and you keep it there for 10 years, and you pull that $100,000 out, the house that you could have bought for $100,000, you're not going to be able to buy that house again unless it, you know, it is run down. Nobody did anything with it for that whole year. Maybe you might get it for $100,000, but it's probably going to go up in value. The same thing, you know, the cars that you could have purchased, anything that you could have purchased with $100,000, you're not going to be able to get all those things with that same $100,000 in 10 years. So that's the way it works. That is a tax on your wealth, on the money that you keep. So that's why people buy gold. That's why people buy in things with intrinsic value. I took some of my funds and I put them into some machinery that probably will not depreciate at all. In fact, it might appreciate. That I bought a backhoe. I bought a little skid steer. And both of those items are probably going to go up in value. Certainly not going to lose value on them unless something catastrophic happens. It's one of those things where it parks my money in something intrinsic, with intrinsic value and worth. And on top of that, something I could actually use to make money if I needed to. I could actually probably earn a living with both of those devices if I needed to. So it's, you know, not only does it have the potential to raise capital in the use of it, but it also just, even just sitting there, it is actually parking funds in something that will have intrinsic value throughout time. So 10 years from now, that same backhoe is still going to have, if everything's running and if it works, it's still going to have about the same value it had when I bought it. So it's just, or more. I mean, in terms of dollars to dollars, whatever the dollar is worth, 10 years from now, I could probably trade that backhoe for a nice used car today. And 10 years from now, I could probably trade that backhoe for a nice used car 10 years from now. So it's one of those things where let alone the fact that I can use it for doing things and save money on top of that. So that's kind of one of the issues with investments like that is it's about diversification. I could have taken that money and put it in the stock market and probably made money on it too. But there again, you're putting all of your eggs in one basket. You're not diversifying. Now, again, I'm not a financial counselor. I'm just telling you my strategy. I think diversification and operating on percentages of your income, I think, is a biblical principle. And I think we need to kind of take a look at that church, as a nation, rather than being just caught up in, living paycheck to paycheck, that kind of thing. But I digress. I have, I'm going to take a sip of this Pure Leaf plastic bottle tea. By the way, when I went to Five Guys, I was walking by Five Guys after I got this burger. I was walking past Five Guys, and on their thing, they had on their drink. I looked at their drinks, and it said tea, and then it said sweet tea. So they have regular tea and sweet tea. And I'm like, well, that's usually they don't put that up there unless they've got a fountain sweet tea. They must brew tea here. So I walked up, and of course waited in line and got my $4 sweet tea, thinking it was going to be come in a cup. She was going to go over and get it in a cup. Because I could have bought a $3 sweet tea from one of the vending machines, instead of spending $4 for her to walk over and take it out of a cooler and hand it to me. She handed me this bottle. I said, oh, and I already paid for it, and I was going to go through that. I didn't have time to go through the process of just saying no, never mind. So she handed me this bottle. I said, oh, you don't have brewed sweet tea. She goes, no, sorry. Great. So I got a bottle of sweet tea. What is this, 12 ounces? I don't know what it is. 12.5 over 2. What is it? I don't know what that is. I can't even read it from here. I don't have enough light in this room. So I think it's 8.5 ounces. Whatever it is. Yeah, I forgot to say. 18. I don't know what it is. So back to my story here about the whole thing with the way the money system works and what we're doing with our stuff. What people are spending money on now, this whole idea of minimum wage and everywhere it's all going is kind of just had been kind of crazy. Now there's some other things that are happening in the nation right now that I think are pretty clearly just rhetoric, political football stuff. And of course, one of the things I want to talk about, okay, this week, what's going to, you know, the political football, the big talking point, the rhetoric, the narrative is that the big beautiful bill is going to destroy the country and everything's going to go, we're all going to die. Last week it was, I'm pretty sure that next week, one of the big things, there's a couple things on the burner right now, but one of the big things too is this alligator Alcatraz deportation center here that's in Florida. People are all upset about that now. This is Auschwitz. This is a concentration camp. Well, it's not a concentration camp. It's a deportation camp. It's they don't stay there very long. The whole point is to put them there, and then get them, you know, arranged, have travel arranged for them. When the airport's right there, they can just literally fly them out from there. So it's a very, the point is you get them detained, they can't escape, nothing, you know, and you got them in this area where it's very hard to escape from. It's a facility that can be used, and it was sitting there basically unused for the most part. It was there for kind of emergency purposes, and now it's there for more permanent purposes. And it's going to be used to get people out of the country, which is, I think it's, and about 90% of the country is in agreement with getting, of course, what they say is they're going to get the criminals gone first. Well, they're all criminals. The left will tell you, oh, it's like jaywalking, coming, you know, living here without papers, being here illegally is like jaywalking. Jaywalking is still a crime. And they'll say it's not a crime, it's a misdemeanor. Well, a misdemeanor is still a crime. Still committing a crime, still get a ticket for it. It's one of those things where we're redefining now what crime is, and that's where they go with this stuff. They redefine everything, and then they tell you the fact they're saying that violent crime, stealing and breaking into someone's home, that's not a violent crime. What's real violence? And of course, this mayor, this Mamandi up in New York now, it's going to be the mayor there probably. His big thing is. That's not violence. We have to redefine violence, because violence is actually, the words that people say. That's violence. You know, this racism and bigotry. That's violence. That's real violence. That's true violence. Okay. And then how you define that? Of course, you can redefine what that is. So, just looking at someone wrong is violence. Apparently, that's because if you look at somebody wrong, it's going to be racism or whatever it's going to be. He's flat out said he wants to tax white neighborhoods, rich neighborhoods, and white neighborhoods. Just invoking the whole race card and the whole thing, and just seizing the means of production. The whole thing. I mean, he's flagrantly and blatantly a communist. He's skipping over socialism. He's calling it democratic socialism. It's not. By the way, and I've looked and looked and looked for anywhere. That Martin Luther King Jr. ever said the word, ever used the term democratic socialism. Never used it that I can find. If anybody can find it, please give me a call. It is 812-379-8778. Unless it's, and I want documentation that he actually said it. I don't want just some kind of, like what he's putting words in his mouth. I don't want that. I don't want somebody just putting words in Martin Luther King Jr.'s mouth. I want either video evidence or something that was written in a book that's been around longer than, you know, 4 or 5 years, to see that Martin Luther King Jr. actually said those words or wrote those words anywhere with his own hand or with his own mouth. I don't believe he did. I don't believe he ever used the term democratic socialism, and this guy put the words in his mouth. He might have said socialism. He might have said that. He probably used the word communism, because we didn't really talk about socialism so much back in the day, back in his day. It was back in the 70s, it was communism versus, we didn't call it capitalism back then. It wasn't capitalism versus communism. It was basically freedom and liberty versus communism. Because there was a time, and this is back in JFK days, when we understood that liberty, in fact, the liberals were mostly, the reason they called themselves liberals is because they believed that they need to be liberated from the rules of the Republicans came across. I think the Republicans had more of a party of of, you know, rules and living by the rules, so to speak. I don't know, more of a legalistic form of life and imposing those moral laws and the morality on other people. Whereas the liberals were kind of opposed to any kind of moral standards being imposed on anybody. However, they did have... time is running out here. Let's see how that goes. Folks, have a great weekend. Have fun celebrating. Have some fun with fireworks tonight. And I will talk to you on Monday. God bless. Take care. See you.